listenlikealocal.com, or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
Good evening and welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, this will be our first broadcast post basketball. And I guess a kind of a pregame as far as the spring sports go. But we are still going to start the show, as we always do, with a little bit of a COVID update to begin the show here.
Well, we will start with the state data. As of today, there have been 426,876 total cases in Kentucky, 6,090 unfortunate deaths. There are 815 new cases today. Numbers have gone up.
Statewide.
Almost significantly. Doubled. Yes, significantly gone up. There have been 22 new deaths reported totally. The positivity rate is 2.96. So even though that number is low, ultimately it's still way too many cases in a sense, obviously.
Shows lots of testing's going on.
You're exactly right. So then now let's go back over the weekend here locally for Powell County. Over the weekend, there were 9 new cases. On Monday, there were 4. That brought a total to 1,077 total case count. Active was 34. Again, that's through Monday. On Tuesday, there were 4 new cases. Five, had met the criteria for recovery. That was 33 active cases. And then we get to today, there are 2 new cases as of today. 3 individuals met the criteria for recovery. So that brings the total case count to 1,083, 32 active cases, 12 unfortunate deaths. But you know as well as I do, David, you know, we always lag behind. And, you know, then you hear things out in the community, in a sense, as far as even numbers that, you know, haven't necessarily been reported as of yet. We are one of 8 counties that are still in the red. And what's even kind of interesting about that is that the red counties consist of Powell, Lee, and Owsley, all right here in a sense, as far as like the
56th district.
Right? As far as 3 of the 8 counties that are in the red. So we are in the red at a 37% mark. Obviously, under those circumstances, that number is going to go up, and we will continue to remain in the red. If there is, I hate to use this, I don't mean this as a pun, but if there's, you know, a bright spot, I guess, in a sense, you know, a little bright spot is that we are actually about to go on spring break, and maybe, if anything, that straightens things out, or everybody's going to travel, and when we come back, the numbers are going to end up worse than what they currently are.
Normally, when we've had events happen, we've had increases of numbers after that happens. I'm not saying there will be an increase after spring break. I don't know how many people are planning on traveling. But apparently, right in here right now, again, this is something that's kind of, I think, a global thing right now. You're seeing spikes in other countries. You're seeing and the CDC told us you will see a surge in April, and we're kind of starting to see that. It just packing is kind of in the forefront, if you will. I mean, I hate to say that, but we're kind of leading the charge. We've been red now for 3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah,
Or at least 2 weeks. So, and like Ken said, I'm not seeing this come out. You know, I got some unofficial reports of several cases that we're going to make. Maybe reported tomorrow that aren't on that list. We will see if that happens, then we're going to hit the 40s pretty quickly. So again, folks, keep your distance. If you're sick and you don't want to test, don't go to work. If you're sick and you're, you know, I don't know if Mr. Dr. Orr already sent out an email to parents, if your kid's sick, please keep them home. You know, and hope for the best, I guess, but I know there's a little stomach virus going around. I don't think really it has anything to do with COVID, but there's a little virus, there's a little bug going around. That's not probably not COVID, but there's a bug going around. If you get it, you're going to be sick for a while. But COVID is a that a different character, buddy. It's I don't know. I fear that, and I've talked about this all year since softball season is here. Haven't played our first game. We did have a COVID postponement. Our first scheduled contest was Tuesday with Berea. Moved that game back because they had a COVID. They actually had a team quarantine. They had a COVID case on their team. And we have kids that are coming off quarantine just now from a contact. So it's good to see the kids back, but the more you have, the more, you know, if anybody is doing something they probably shouldn't be doing, they're bringing it back to the group. And it's saying, this is something we're going on in the school. You know, when you have somebody that may be doing something they shouldn't do or around somebody that's positive. And here's the bad thing with this is all of us who have been vaccinated, we are all spreaders. So if we have I'm talking about the people who have been vaccinated, we can still spread it to those who haven't been vaccinated yet. And then that will start. And I think that may be part of the issue. I think people feel comfortable. I'm vaccinated. I can't get it. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You can't, you might not get it, but you may spread it.
Well, and we talked about this last week that over 50% of the transmissions of the virus come from asymptomatic people.
Which is basically what a vaccinated person is going to be.
Correct. So you're not showing signs, but at the same time, you can still have that virus and be a spreader of that particular virus.
So, folks, the mask, like we said a long time ago, they're not going anywhere fast. So just keep them on. And when you go around, folks, just understand we got people that want to have graduation. We got people that want to have their proms. We got people that want to have a season. And let's please just stay where we use your precautions. And you got to make good choices as well on who you're around. It's going to be a very difficult softball season, baseball season, just because of the things that we're going to have to do. Limited in the dugouts, limited on the buses. Makes your rosters a little bit smaller when you go away, which is kind of, you hate it for the other kids that don't travel. But this is COVID time. Things are different.
Well, think about this as well. So we just had the district and regional tournaments over the last couple of weeks.
State tournament going on.
Correct. But when you look at those venues and how everyone was packed in, it was not like it was early in the season where truly people were kind of spread out. Instead, you have everybody packed in. It was almost like I hate to even use this word because it really, it's pointless in a sense, a normal season. I hate the word normal, but, you know, it appeared to be like a normal regional tournament setting, district tournament setting, because everyone was packed in, tight together. Not that people weren't wearing masks in a sense, but still, when you're in that close proximity, and we've used this analogy before, if that's cold weather outside and you're going out and you exhale, you see that vapor, that mist. We all do that without being able to see that. So what you see in the cold air is what you would normally come out of your lungs in a sense. So therefore, that happens, and yet alone when people are screaming and yelling for their team, how much more does that project?
Yeah, and think about this. At Perry Central, I'm not liking Perry Central. It's where we went to the girls' tournament. We were there. We watched. We sit on the rail in the upstairs. There's probably, what, 6 or 7 media outlets that were up there doing that. So at Perry Central High School, you have a set of bleachers behind the benches, normally. There was no one on that side. So now you pack a normal regional tournament into 4 sections. And it was pretty full.
Agreed.
That's being said, when we're saying pretty full, we had 2 teams come in. Band cheerleaders, the old groups. They all went out. They disinfected. New group came in. They filled that thing up twice on those 4 sections. And again, if we, events like these, and there hasn't been a lot of them that have been doctored or documented, events like these are probably the super spreader events that we don't hear about a lot. So even going to the tournament, we may see, and it's a lot of folks going to tournaments, with the basketball tournaments, well, you may see an increase in cases because of those events. Not that they're going to report them, not that they're going to link them, but it's a possibility.
And that's not necessarily to say that the people, you know, most of them were parents and family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who were they got the four tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, who were there? It still goes back to the fact that now everybody's in closer quarters, as opposed to having that distancing. Well, and that in and of itself, again, is that going to make an increase in cases? Let's hope not. But at the same time, potentially that threat is there, for lack of a better way of putting it.
I was going to say you almost had four tickets per player, and you really didn't. You really mostly had, I think it was about 300 and some tickets per school, plus 70 or 80 passes. So at least 800 folks, minus like us, we didn't even use a pass. We just went out on media credentials. There's probably 1,000 people in that gym at any session, and that's a lot of folks to have inside.
And again, they did everything that they needed to do as far as disinfecting as and clearing out. Exactly. It just goes back to asymptomatic people being around other people and potentially being, you know, those transmitters, spreaders.
Again, this is going to be around. We've got to get kind of used to it. This is not going away. Again, our numbers in Powell County are showing that. So, again, we kind of want to throw this out there. We're not trying to just be boring talkers. It's just we're concerned about it because it's affecting our livelihoods and what we're doing on a normal everyday basis. So that's why we talk about it every week. It's important to us to at least mention it, keep you updated. Maybe you haven't thought about it the same way we're seeing the numbers go up. But again, we're going to step away for a break here. Be back in a moment with quite a few stories here tonight on PCSN Live.
Ever think about this? 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again. The reason? Great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. March is Ram Truck Month, and the all-new 2021 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram is the truck of the year for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton. Tanner Dodge
Chrysler Jeep. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Hey, welcome back here to the PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Got a few things to talk about first. Again, we have to wrap up basketball season. We'll start with the girls. Heartbreaking loss against Letcher Central on Monday night.
No. Correct. Yeah, yes.
Monday night.
Tuesday.
Yep. Tuesday. The
sorry.
They ran together.
Yeah, right. No.
Won the first round game against Breathitt.
It was Monday.
It was Monday. Yes, they won Friday night.
Correct.
Against
Friday,
Breathitt.
Then Monday. Friday, then Monday.
We figured it out. Friday night, we won against Breathitt. Really an easy win after a slow start. Monday, it was a slow start, plus I thought the officiating really kind of hampered Powell in the first half. Put us kind of behind the eight ball. I thought the second half was called fairly consistently. But the damage was already done. I think it was about an 11 or 12 point mark at halftime. That was the margin of victory at the end of the game. Powell fought hard, down as much as 21, I believe, in the second half, and were able to just kind of fight off enough to where they cut it to 12. Over really and a good, solid defensive team, especially with Letcher Central, and they are again they were your defending regional champions, who did not get to participate in their state tournament last year. That's when the COVID outbreak started. They shut everything down. I think they maybe played one game. Somebody did play the game, and then they shut it down after that. So I don't think Letcher got to participate at the state tournament. And then they played the winner of Knott County, and it was Owsley, which the Owsley Owls were coming in as the number one ranked team in the 14th region, and it was an absolute blowout.
91-79, Knott Central.
Yeah, and I say a blowout, that's 12, but it was almost a 25-26 point mark at one point. Owsley really fought hard to come back, but again, they may have been strapped a little early with the calls. Not saying that that's what happened, but you can't blame a 20-some point loss. But you can say this: if I get them a good lead early, it may be really tough to come back from. I think that was the case in our game. I think that may have been a little bit of the case against Owsley, but Knott County, we watched that game. They could not miss. They were probably shooting at a 65-75% clip. Just most of the shots they took went in. And we've talked about how good Owsley County's defense was all season. When you're hot like that, it's hard to beat you. Owsley was cold, didn't make a lot of free throws. I think there were 34 fouls called. I think it was 24-10 was what the foul.
Correct. Discrepancy was.
But, again, when you – no, I'm sorry. That was the Letcher – that was
not
Letcher-Knott game.
Yes.
Who'd Letcher beat? Wolf. No?
No, who'd it was beat? Perry and Letcher.
The Perry Letcher count was 24-10. Letcher won the count and won the ball game. Perry County missed two free throws going down the stretch. Had a chance to win or tie, and Letcher County went on to win. That was their first round game. But anyway, I was really proud of the Lady Pirates. They had some good totals as far as scoring. There at the end, it was kind of, I think Letcher was almost allowing us to trade baskets because there was no reason to stop the clock and get in more foul trouble if you're them. I know Makaira Call and Macy Howell had some really good performances. They both were selected as all-tournament members of the 14th Region all-tournament team.
Yeah, and I think when the Lady Pirates got down early, 7-2, head coach Ken Jones calls a 30-second timeout to get them reorganized. They responded.
Yeah.
And at one point it was 14-12, but then Letcher goes on a run, and they end up leading 21-16 at the end of the first quarter.
And then 2 minutes later, Macy Howe picks up her
second
foul.
Yeah,
and I thought Coach Jones was right taking her out. She talked her way back in because we were down about 20. She went back in, and we cut the lead back, but still it was too much of a deficit. Grady was in foul trouble. Howe was in foul trouble. And really, Letcher started piling up the fouls as well. But again, they
48 fouls called in the game.
Yes. And I think at the end of the game, we're fouling, trying to catch up. But really, almost even at the end of the game, it was the foul count. But, you know, when you look at the games played, I thought Letcher is just watching three different games with Letcher play. I have come to the conclusion it is their style of play more than anything else. I don't necessarily think they got hosed against Perry like they thought. I think they are just a physical team that does commit a lot of fouls.
And even with the Lady Pirates, we've talked about this throughout the season, that when they hit their free throws early on, They gain that confidence, and they can hit that 80% mark throughout a game. Instead, they started out slow. They finished 12 out of 20, I believe, was the final count. And they had opportunities. They cut it to 7,
yeah,
and had chances to cut it even, you know, down to 5, maybe even 4. Missed shots. They come down, they hold, get a rebound, they come back, miss another shot, come back, and all of a sudden, Letcher scores, exactly, and pushes it back out. So the Lady Pirates got to within that 7-point mark, just couldn't quite get over that hump. Missed some key free throws at times, and well, obviously the fouls was huge.
I will say missing free throws was a big deal, but the problem was Letcher missed a whole lot more than we did.
Yeah, they were like 12 out of 29 or something.
I mean, it was really, they shot around 30%. We shot better at like 45, 46%, but again, you can't miss free throws in mid games and come out the winner. However, Letcher shot a lot and didn't make as many. And probably made the same amount of free throws with each other, but they shot it quite a bit more. Again, we were trying to come back in the ball game and fouling pretty much every possession. But I am proud of the Lady Pirates, where they played, where they fought all season. I thought Ken Jones did a really good job with this group.
A young group.
And thanks to Macy Howe for her, I guess, 6 years of play.
Outstanding
for the
player.
Lady Pirates. Yeah, she, again, hit the 1,000 rebound mark. I believe over, was she 2,000 point?
Yes.
I know she was 1,500. I wasn't sure if she was 2,000 or not, but the 1,000 rebounds, that's pretty special when you can hit 1,000 rebounds by itself. So
and then even Makaira Cottle, freshman, over 500 points.
Coming along.
Yeah, you know, coming along, definitely. Yeah. A very good core group of athletes there for the Lady Pirates.
Going to be a different style of play in 22. Nope. 21-22 season will be a different, I think. I'll not disagree with Coach Jones if he comes out with something different, but he's got a lot of guards, got a lot of shooters. He's quick, but doesn't have a lot of post game. So we'll have to see how the Lady Pirates adjust to the changes, if there are any. I think that you can almost play a 4-out, 5-out game and a lot of pressing with this group. Potentially, try to make some things happen.
Yeah, I think potentially you could see that because he has a good bench as well. Kira Anderson, Lori Faulkner, Amelia Trent. The list goes on and on in a sense as far as that talent.
Everybody that went in the game contributed. And I was really proud of the bench play. We played eight girls, I guess, and everybody did their job. And you can't get upset if they're doing their job. And I thought that the Lady Pirates held their own. Very respectful season. Did a good job, again, finishing it out. We're going to talk a little bit about other teams and what they're doing. But, Letcher County was the championship game with not Letcher. District matchup again. And it was 2-1 in the regular season, Knott County over Letcher. And then Knott County in 4 overtimes defeated Letcher. I think it was 9 was maybe the final number. It was
86-79.
7. So I was close. Yeah. It was a 7-point victory there in the 4th overtime. Letcher had a player broke her arm in regulation. Had another starter foul out at the end of before regulation was over. Had a second player foul out in the first overtime, and another player fouled out in the second or third overtime. But they went into 2 more overtimes with 4 subs. And to me, that was pretty special for Letcher Central. I wasn't really rooting for anybody, but I almost wanted to root for Letcher just because, man, this is pretty cool. You see these young kids come in as the subs, and they're holding their own against Knott County Central. So, Knott County got the win. Good luck to them at the state tournament. And we'll talk about the boys in a little bit. But, I was impressed with regional tournament play. What a game that was, though, that regional championship. I watched it last night on Bluegrass Sports Nation broadcast. I hate to give them a plug, but anyway, they were on last night, and they did a good job. But man, that game was just – I probably wish I would have been there, but it was kind of like I was. I was even screaming on a couple of the plays. But a very good regional championship game, and good luck to Knott County going forward.
Yeah, and what's interesting as well is that Knott and Letcher really don't lose anybody team-wise.
Young.
Exactly. So they're both going to be returning a bulk of their players. Owsley County will lose – quite a bit of numbers. Yeah. The Lady Pirates will lose
one.
Macy Howe.
But a big one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So even going back to the Lady Pirates, I would like to see, and of course Ken Jones is going to do what he does, and he's successful at what he does. But I think with the team that he has coming back and not necessarily a big post player, I think you could almost put that full court press on, right? Use your speed and quickness to try and get baskets in transition and hope that speed and quickness get you some of those wins in a sense. But it'd be interesting to see how he handles things going into next year. Looking forward to it.
It will be interesting to see because he may have some changes to make. We'll have to see. He may not change anything.
And, you know, even sticking with the girls here, I'll kind of set this up a little bit here. So Knott County Central ended up winning over Letcher County Central in those four overtimes, as David mentioned. So Knott County Central will play Sacred Heart out of Louisville.
Good luck.
So Knott is 20-7 on the season. Sacred Heart, 21-7. They are the 7th region champs. And then below that, Bowling Green out of the 4th, 18-10 on the season, will play Bishop Brossert out of the 10th, 21-5. And then below that, it's Franklin County, South Laurel, Anderson County, and Southwestern. Those are all in the upper bracket. The bottom bracket, Pikeville, Marshall County, Bethlehem, Bullet East, Henderson County, Apollo, Dixie Heights, and Russell. And when you look at a lot of these teams as far as like their records, Anderson County 26-2, Marshall County 22-2, Bullet East 22-2, Dixie Heights 27-2. You have a lot of teams that have played a lot of games and have very impressive records in many respects. You know, the girls tournament could be wide open in a sense.
You know, a lot of times girls state tournament and regional tournaments usually a little bit more predictable than the boys, just because you either have a really good team or whatever. And I think there's some really good teams out there, and it should be a very competitive state tournament. Normally our girls don't do well out of the 14th, but good luck against
it's going to be against Sacred Heart out of Louisville. Catholic girls.
I'm going to say this. Not to say private versus public, but that's another argument out there going on right now. But anyway.
Well, at this point, let's see. There's actually three private schools out of the 16 that are actually in there.
Yeah, we'll spend our money that way, I guess, here in the state of Kentucky. It seems like what's going forward. But anyway.
Well, now you have a choice.
I'm going to get my political jab out there. We'll be right back with PCSN Live here in a moment. Here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
That was a quick break. But anyway, welcome back here to PCSN Live. Again, switch gears over to boys. We'll talk about the boys' state tournament a little bit here. Today, Knott County, again, 14th region champion, faced off with E-Town. And from the get-go, that one was pretty much over. It was E-Town by about 30 over.
Yeah, actually, 28 points, yeah, 87-59.
It got in the 30s a few times, and finally, I guess, Knott County got it back down in the lower, but it was never really in question after the first quarter of play. It was pretty much all E-Town. And we kind of have grown to expect this. It's whoever you send for the 14th, usually a one and done. And I hate to say that, but it is what it is. The basketball, they are really good in basketball in Knott County and Hazard Perry. Those are really good teams, and especially in men's basketball. But when you go west, the basketball seems to be better.
It's a different game. At the same time, they faced off against Elizabethtown, who is the number one ranked team in the state.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and in some ways, though, the 14th always seems to have that tough
draw.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be consistent. At the same time, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, and, you know, yeah, obviously, well, it doesn't
the year
happen.
That I guess the best team I've seen out of the 14th region in a long time, maybe 14 or something, Cameron Justice at Knott County, that group of players went down, lost just a heartbreaker. I think it was one of the Oldham counties that year. And just, man, I tell you what, when I got down, I'm thinking, these guys are good. I mean, I was going down, I was kind of pulling for Knott County on at the game, and I'm thinking, they went down to the wire. I mean, it was a close game. Again, they were a good showing for the 14th region, but that was a team that I think that had chances to maybe go a little bit further than most teams. But again, as good as they were, first they were one and done at the 14th at the state tournament. Would just like to see the 14th a little bit more competitive, and I don't know how you get there, but I'd like to see the 14th more competitive when we go on to the state tournament.
Yeah, again, as Elizabethtown will actually advance, and in the second game of the day, it was Bowling Green, a record of 23-2.
Yeah.
They defeated University Heights 85-57.
Yeah, blowout game.
Exactly the same thing. And currently playing is Madison Central and Ballard out of Louisville. That ought to be a good game. That started at 5 o'clock at this point to be close to finish. And then the second game tonight at 8 o'clock tip-off, George Rogers Clark out of Winchester facing off against Oldham County. So GRC has a really nice team. Oldham County consistently seems to get there out of the 8th region. So those are the upper bracket, if you will. And then on the bottom half, you have Boyle County against Paintsville. These games will tip off tomorrow. Boyle County against Paintsville. Knox Central against Ashland Blazer. Bullet East against McCracken County. Muhlenberg County against Highlands. Muhlenberg County always seems to get there, don't they? You know, they're one of those teams. So they're 19-1 on the season, but consistently, Muhlenberg County is one of those teams that you can count on being there. But a lot of good teams in the boys' state tournament. Again, a lot of good records that are out there. You know, it's one of those you wish you had the time to be able to sit in and watch the whole thing. Ought to be some great matchups.
Well, I got some other things I got to do with going to state tournament. I get ready for a softball season, which we'll talk about after the break. But since we're talking basketball, before we go to our next break, I do want to talk a little bit about Powell County basketball. And think I should take a break first?
No, let's go and talk about it.
Okay, well, just take a couple minutes.
While we're here.
Just take a couple minutes. But anyway, it was some interesting stuff. This is just something I kind of dove into today and the last couple of days kind of looking at it. And it's about Powell County basketball in general. And anybody that wants to do this, go back on the KHSA website and you can go back as far as I did. But I'm going to give you a little, I guess, you folks a little history lesson about Powell County basketball. Not that you all will need it because you're probably smarter than I am. But anyway, since 1998, Powell County High School boys basketball has a record of 319 and 363 for a 40, I remember what I told you while ago, 40. Some percent,
2%, something like that.
Winning percentage. We have only won 42% of our basketball games in the last 23 years. Now, that being said, this is going to go off on a different tangent than maybe what you all expected us to go off onto. Looking back at the records of the teams and coaches who were here, what I found was really staggering. And this, again, I went back to 98 for records. But I went back to 1970 in my head. And since 1970 here at Powell County, and I don't know wins and losses, they may be something that would blow my mind. I don't know. But I will say this. Since 1970, we have had we talked about this a while ago, four coaches in the 70s, three in the 80s, four in the 90s. Let me count them up here. In the 2000s, we had one, two, three. Four in the 2000s, 2010 and beyond, we had one, two, three, four coaches in the 10s. Now, folks, I am sorry. If you can like a coach, hate a coach, love a coach, whatever you want to do, 2.5 years is the average length of staying time at Powell County High School boys basketball. We will never build a program only having a coach for a couple years.
That's the average,
folks. Going back to 1970. And trust me, we've had some success. We've had some failures. We've had some good teams. We've got some bad teams. But we have been winning at a 42% clip for a while, since 1998. That doesn't bode well for Powell County men's basketball. That's not a great winning percentage. You're not even 500. And I'm not saying boys basketball is weak. And I do know, Powell County, when you schedule a lot of teams west of here, north of here. We go other places that most teams in the 14th region don't go. And a lot of times their records are with 14th region, 13th region, and 15th. We play 10th, 11th, 12th. We play pretty much anybody and everybody around this area because it's good travel time. Now, so we may take more losses than other teams would. But that being said, the part that really bothers me is the number of coaches that we have had. And if I go back a bit, and I'm just going to kind of not mention names here, but the first coach I look at left under pressure. Second coach I looked at got a better opportunity. Third coach I looked at was just kind of forced back into it. The next one, very successful, but was forced out. Then another one got a better opportunity. Another one was kind of forced out. Back-to-back forced outs. Opt out. And then just decided to do it on her own, just to go for personal reasons. So that's kind of a story between the last. We've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 coaches in the last 22 seasons.
So basically we're going to have 10 coaches in a 25-year span.
Less than 2.5 years.
Correct. No consistency, mm-hmm. No continuity.
No building of programs.
And then, correct, and let's transfer this over just to bring in the girls for just a second. Coach Ken Jones has been around for a while.
Has built a program.
Yes, that program is consistent. And obviously that goes to the middle school as well, you know, to give them credit in a sense as far as what they're able to do. But yet, because of that stability, you can count on the Lady Pirates teams competing for a district title, mm-hmm. competing in the region.
Yeah.
With the boys, you don't know necessarily what you're going to get because of that inconsistency.
You know, when I go back and count the district titles that we won, I don't even think you folks want to hear that because it's not as many as you probably think. Maybe 5 district titles in the last 22 seasons. You're the third largest team in the 14th region. You are the largest team in the 56th district by far, over at least Owsley and Lee. You're close to Essel. But that's not enough. But again, sometimes I blame fans for having the pressure put on these coaches who may be trying to build something, and we don't let them.
Because it's the mentality is win now, right?
Win now with this group. Well,
right.
There's some groups that aren't as winnable as others, and I've coached here for a long time. Obviously, the basketball job is a big turnover rate. But, you know, when you look at it also, some of these guys have went back into and got a lot better jobs. Administrators, superintendents. There's at least 3 superintendents on the list of Powell County basketball coaches going back to the 80s. So that being said, there's a lot of successful people leave basketball and go into other positions. There's not a lot of success post Powell County basketball in coaching. There's only, when I look at this, there's only, I think, two coaches who are actively still coaching this list from 98.
And that's unfortunate. And what I know to be true, this is what I know to be true. In Powell County, we do not and have not, and I've been here for 30 years, so I can account for, you know, a lot of that as well, in the sense as far as recognizing that we do not develop players.
No.
We don't do it at the elementary school level. We're so bent on playing games, mm-hmm. as opposed to developing skill set. When I was coaching my son and daughter when they were in elementary school, at that point, I was so upset in a sense that we didn't spend, I'd rather spend 2 months at that level going through skill development,
yeah.
and play 1 month of games, but knowing that we've spent 2 months of developing skills. And we don't do that. But yet other counties, you go to Knott, you go to Letcher, you go to Perry, and what are they doing? Year round almost developing skill sets, and then we wonder why we don't necessarily compete.
Well,
when you're having to teach kids at middle school and potentially even high school certain things about the game, we're not doing a job collectively as a community to get those kids to the level that they need to be in order to be truly successful.
Facilities is part of it.
Sure.
Facilities is a big part of it. Again, in Powell County, again, the school system itself, you have Staten Elementary that has a legitimate gym for playing basketball and practice. Bowen Elementary, you can practice there. It's not a great place to play. There's some issues with that gym floor. In Clay City, you can't even play there because the gym floor comes out on the floor.
The bleachers.
That's not a viable place to go play. The middle school always is tied up, but it's not a – as far as high school stuff, it's not regulation size. So when you talk about a county our size, there is one high school length gym floor in this county. If I go to Knott County Sportsplex, I find seven gyms or eight full length floors at the Sportsplex.
Let's bring in another sport, soccer. We do not have a regulation soccer field. And therefore, we won't be able to host regional tournaments. It's always going to be at Perry Central.
Or track.
Which is an artificial turf. And when you're used to playing on grass and you go to artificial, that ball bounces differently, et cetera. It'll be hard to win against Perry Central because they practice on that all the time. We've not made the investment. And I get that it takes revenue and money and all of that kind of stuff. I understand that. At the same time, we've not made that investment to improve facilities to the level and the extent that we need to provide the best opportunity for these kids to be successful.
Folks, if you've been involved in building our programs where they are, and thank you for getting what we got. But when you look back, you know, the football, now soccer field, is not regulation size for soccer. There is only one regulation soccer field in the 14th region, Perry Central.
Right, and that's an artificial turf.
The only one. You could play soccer tournaments on grass. But you have to have regulation size. You know, just like our track is always nice. It's not regulation size to even host an event. So we can't even host a track event on our track. And you know, for years we did, but I guess we've later found somebody gets questioned. It's not regulation size. We're not going to be able to compete athletically until we have facilities, one, feeder system programs of development, two.
But a consistent one.
A consistent one. But again, that's where we're going with these coaches. We get these high school coaches, and I've talked to a lot of these guys because they've been friends of mine. A lot of them want to develop something down low. They're not here long enough to get it done. They never see what they hope to see the results of. They're only here for two and a half years. There's not enough even time. When you get here, you get the seniors, juniors, and sophomores out. You have some kids are going through three coaches before they graduate. That's unfair to the kids. It's unfair really to the community. It's unfair to the program. So that's just my little jab, I guess, tonight, if anything, is again, we're kind of wanting to run these people off from coaching here. It's not like we got the best
set up
anyway, and we're not really thoroughbreds here in basketball, and we haven't been, I guess, in my lifetime. We've had really good individual players and some really good teams. In a long lineage of basketball, great teams in the 50s and 60s. We're in the 50s for sure. Really good teams in the 70s. But we've had a big time fall off after those. I mean, it's kind of like you get three or four really good years, you drop down for 10. Three or four really good years, you drop down for 10 more. If we get programs developed at the early ages and consistency, you look at Knott County, I guess, BB's been there for probably almost 14 or 15 years. Al Holland has been at Hazard or Perry for the last almost 40 years. We talk about Ken being here a long time. Al Holland was at Perry forever, and now he's been at Hazard for probably almost 20 years. And those guys win. When you look at winning programs, it's the guys that have been there the longest.
But they also have a feeder program
coming up.
Where they're constantly developing skills. And one of the things I always say, you know, on the radio, even during games or whatever, you know, for those players, You have to take the time to develop your skill set. Some of that onus falls on you. But again, collectively as a community, as the adults in a sense, we need to make sure that we are equipping those kids and redefining what a feeder program is and realizing that we need to work more on skill set and stop worrying about the games, playing the games. Yeah. Yes, it's fun in games, and I get all of that, but at the same time, if you're not developing it, and we even recognize the fact that kids don't necessarily understand the game like we did growing up.
They don't play enough. Comparatively speaking, you talk about a Knox County team, they're playing 40 games as first graders, second graders, third graders. By the time they're in fifth grade, they've played 200. By the time our kids are in fifth grade, they've played 20. There you go. Yeah,
but at the same time,
there comes your knowledge right there.
Right.
200 versus 20. Even if you're playing poorly, you're getting a whole lot more skills than you are playing 25 games. And again, I'm comparing to Knott County with the Sportsplex up there. But that doesn't just serve Knott County. Knott, Hazard, Perry kids, they all go there to the Sportsplex to play. They play it year-round. The kids that love basketball up in that area, that's why. I mean, these are programs. These are solid programs, and they're going to stay solid programs because of it. That's my spiel.
Well, even with the feeder programs as well, okay, so you have these travel teams, right? Yeah. That was really the thing now. Okay, so the problem with the travel teams is that normally, all of a sudden, I might be with a team out of Clark County, and I'm playing with the group there or Montgomery or Wolf or wherever you want to pick, and I'm traveling with those kids. But guess what? When I come back to the high school, I'm not playing with those kids anymore.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you don't even have that kind of continuity and consistency with the team.
You get an individual skill set.
Right.
Which can help.
Yes.
But it doesn't help the total team picture.
Correct.
So, there's two ways to look at it. Again, I've kind of went back here. We're getting ready to look at a new coach. Again, Coach Williams, if you missed it, has resigned from the boys' basketball program, which is kind of why I brought this up. I think everyone who's doing the search needs to look, and I think they will, but it's sometimes it's community members that get involved that take these coaches out. But again, we got to look at somebody going to look at the big picture. I'll say this. I almost don't want somebody that's an experienced coach that's been in it for 20 years. I don't want that guy coming here because how long has he got? You're not going to build us a consistent program because you're not going to stay very long. I want somebody coming in here that's maybe been 5, 6, 7 years, been an assistant, has a vision how they can rebuild this program and get going on the right track. It may take a few years of down basketball to get where we're trying to go, but if they're willing to build something, that's the direction, in my opinion, we need to take. So,
there's always growing pains during a transition time. And again, we said this before, just because Powell County boys are going to be getting a new coach doesn't necessarily equate to success.
New and does not always mean better.
Right.
So, well, again, let's be patient, please. Let's build the program, not worry about individual groups. We got to build this from the first, second, third grade on up. Give it a 15-year plan. To me, I want somebody that's going to be here for the next 15 years, not necessarily somebody that's going to be here for 5. That's what Dave Faulkner wants. Now, somebody else can have a different opinion than me. That's totally fine, and that's why we discuss this.
Well, and I will say this, too. Obviously, as you kind of mentioned, you know, sometimes coaches get run out in a sense. For some reason, the mentality around here, again, I'm an outsider looking in, and I will always have that perspective, even though I've been here for 30 years, is that the fan base, if you will, everybody thinks that their own child is a superstar. Everybody thinks that my child should be the one that's playing instead of sitting on the bench, and everybody gets upset and mad because, you know, you're feeding into your kid's head that, oh, my kid, you're better than that kid, and why is he getting to play, or that kind of thing. Again, if you want your child to play and perform, and it's no different than using Coach Cal's example, if you're not showing me what you can do in practice every day, and if you're not using basketball, if you can't dribble right-handed just as effectively as you can left-handed, then guess what? Your skill set is not where it needs to be.
Limited.
Correct. Yeah. So go and improve that during the off season. Work out, lift weights, exercise, run, shoot free throws, whatever it is that you can do, and come back and prove that, guess what? I am the best player on the court, but I'm going to prove it to you, as opposed to just sitting there, somebody feeding it into your head
that you're the
best, when potentially you're not the best.
To be the best takes work, takes time, and takes effort. So we got to put that into the new program, whatever it starts here in Powell County, and get behind it and support it fully instead of just kind of whatever. You know, right. we can't do it that way.
We don't produce, you know, D1 athletes here.
But any of that is not fair to the kids nor the program.
Correct.
So we got to do better, folks. We'll take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave again.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Attorney Teddy Flint represents people in personal injury cases. Call for a free consultation. Remember, Teddy Flint only gets paid if you do. Attorney Teddy Flint, sponsoring radio broadcast of the Powell County Pirates. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
Your Stanton Ace Hardware has geared up for the biggest garden season in history. They've been reserving product for months to fulfill all the needs of their wonderful, loyal customers. They have an abundant stock of canning supplies, plants, and seed. Stop by Stanton Ace Hardware for all your lawn and garden needs. They practice safe social distancing, and masks are a must. Ace, the helpful place.
We'll keep this short and simple. That kind of got a little bit long, and I knew it would, but again, I kind of, and Ken said this too, we both were speaking from the heart here. We both believe what we just told you guys about, you know, men's basketball, and it's any program. I don't care what program. You can pick on my softball team. Are there things I can do better? Probably. Are there things I still need to learn? Definitely. Will we keep on trying? Yes, but at least we've had some consistency. We built a program. And again, that's – we're getting some phone calls. I don't know who's calling us, so keep calling us if you – we'll try to get you off the air, but we'll take another break in a moment. But first, we got some baseball, softball season getting ready to kick off here. I will go ahead and say our Powell County girls will not play tomorrow night. That game has been moved to Friday night at Buckhorn. That'll be a 6 o'clock start. Hopefully, if we can get there and play by 6 o'clock, that'd be great. And then on Saturday, we play Letcher Central in a doubleheader. Schedule times 12 and 2 for the girls. Now I'll give you Ken. Let him go with the boys baseball.
Well, I will say this, on Friday night's game, you know, it's going to be cold.
Well, it wasn't going to be as cold as tomorrow night.
Well, that's true.
And maybe not even as cold as tonight.
You're exactly right. So at this point, just so everyone knows, we will be covering girls softball and boys baseball on WSKV. Not quite sure as far as Facebook Live. It's difficult, obviously, to do baseball, softball games, you know, with basically single cameras in a sense to be able to set up even two cameras, you know, to be able to set up and try and bring you Facebook Live with those games. We're not quite sure where we stand on that, but we will be on the radio. Again, make sure that you stay tuned. Usually on Mondays, they start announcing as far as the week what that schedule will actually look like under those circumstances. The boys, to be honest with you,
played last night.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't even know what happened with that one.
Hazard beat Powell 7-4. Pretty good showing, in my opinion. Hazard, one of your top teams in the region early on in the season. Powell County kind of held their own. Again, a 7-4 loss to me was kind of like, that's pretty good job. I mean, told Hazard to 7, and then they limited us to 4. But, you know, we at least hit the ball. I've seen games with Hazard before where we were beat 4-5-0 or a lot worse than that. So, I think a good start for the boys here in Powell County, and they were scheduled to play tonight. Not sure if the game is still on. I would have thought with the heavy rains we got last night, there's probably no way they played tonight.
And that would have been against Owsley County. But actually, it will be potentially, again, depending on the weather, you know, whether or not we get this rain, potentially snow, et cetera, coming through. The boys are supposed to be home against Bath County tomorrow.
Yeah, after this round of rain that's getting ready to come through here, which is – looks pretty heavy right now. We're getting the heaviest part of it right as we speak, and there's nothing falling. But on the radar, it shows a lot. But if we get this batch out, I think it's just going to be cold. So they may get the field ready to go by tomorrow night, I would think. Is it at Bath County?
No, it's a home game.
Okay, home game. So, yeah, you just said that.
And then at that point, the boys are away until April the 16th. Yeah. So a long trip, in a sense, as far as being away.
Well, spring break's in the middle of that, so.
Yes, they will be back home on April the 16th against Fleming County. But in between there, again, on the 3rd, it'll be Knott County Central at Rowan County. Then on the 3rd, it'll play Rowan County, as that is the Hardin Classic. Then on the 6th, they'll be at Morgan County. The 8th, at Estill County. We will likely have that game for you. On the 10th, they'll be at Fleming County. The 12th, at Lee County. The 13th, at Owsley County, again, before returning home on the 16th. So, again, yeah, a long stretch of away games for themselves.
I think it's always wise to start a bunch on the road. That way you get to finish up at home. And you can practice getting better while people aren't necessarily seeing you sometimes. You can kind of hide and go out there and play some games and work on some things you need to work on before you come home. Again, you always want to make a good showing at home. That don't always happen, but that's what you want to try to do.
All right. And then for the Lady Pirates, again, as David mentioned, Letcher County Central. Well, Buckhorn first on Friday, then Letcher County Central on Saturday with the doubleheader. Then they'll be away at Hazard on April the 9th. The Belfry game on the 10th, is that?
At Letcher.
At Letcher, okay. And then, I should have known that because you play Letcher Central on the 10th as well. And then they'll be at Estill County on April the 12th. Again, we will have that game for you. April the 13th at home against Buckhorn. April the 15th at home against Nicholas County. And then on the 16th, it'll be away at Berea.
Yeah, a busy start to the schedule. Again, the Berea game was the one that was postponed due to COVID. It was scheduled for last night, moved to the 16th. And then the game with Berea later on the season on the 21st has been canceled. They rescheduled the prom for the May 21st, graduation on the 23rd. We'll step away for a break here. We'll come back and wrap up here in a moment. We'll break to finish here on PCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back to PCSN as we wrap up here tonight, folks. Again, thanks for listening to us. And if we ticked you off a little bit, that's okay. Just that's kind of what we do. We'll probably do it again next week as we're next time here on WSKV. There'll be no games in between here and next Wednesday. So we'll kind of bring you an update on what went on this weekend with the Powell County softball and with baseball. And also keep you informed of what's going on in the NCAA tournament. That's winding down to the Final Four. Gonzaga's there. Also, UCLA. Other games will be played tonight.
Baylor and Houston.
Oh, that's right. Baylor and Houston. Yeah. So the Final Four is set.
Saturday, yes.
Saturday. It's going to be a fun day. I'm going to pick Gonzaga to win it all. You got to pick?
I would like to go with Gonzaga. I think at this point, you know, Mark Few has done an outstanding job with his team. He's had multiple chances to win. Hasn't quite been able to do it. Maybe this is the team.
Probably the most prolific college basketball team in the last 10 years.
Agreed.
Because
yes.
they get here. They get to the, not necessarily the Final Four, but they get to the Elite Eight. Definitely Sweet 16. Always a power team. I would like to see Gonzaga.
He's got a good thing going.
Yeah, he does. And again, good luck to those guys. Again, you got the Boys State Tournament. Good luck to all the kids playing down there. Also, the girls next week. We'll wish them luck. We'll talk about the Girls State Tournament as we come on here next week and also continue with softball and baseball as well. So, folks, we'll see you next week. Stay safe and follow all your COVID protocols, as we say here on PCSN Live with David Ken. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Pickup Country 104.9. Serve-